while every head is bowed. Father, oh, we're so grateful, and we rejoice in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, and we just sing the beautiful praises to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're so thankful again for the demonstration of the power of your might. And truly, it's just so awesome because it's the love of God. And Lord, we're so thankful for the singing we just heard and the musicians, Lord. And God, you're increasing it at an increasing rate. There is a joy unspeakable coming forth and full of glory. And Lord, we know it's in a pressing time. And Lord, we know that there is much that is in the suffering that's going on at this time. But Lord, the sweetness, the beauty of that little bird that the only way it can sing is by pushing its breast against the thorn. God, help us to willingly to have you press us out of measure, Lord God. Do what it takes, Lord Jesus, in our lives. Truly let us come before the throne, Lord, in sincerity, pouring forth, Lord God, the grace and mercy that you've bestowed into these vessels to say, Lord, I will go. Lord, I will go because of your grace. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us into this house of bread. God, so thankful that you and your Son and your Holy Spirit so amply supply and feed us. God, we're so thankful for the working of the Spirit and the power to take the things of Christ and to make them ours. And Lord, if it be just one thing today, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles today to Philippians. And we're going to the first chapter. And, I just love this sweet book. It's been so on my heart. I believe if the Lord tarry, it won't be too long before we'll be in it studying. I just want my faith to be made whole. I just want to be face to face with the one whom I adore. And I know you do too. You wouldn't be here today to listen to this bumbling knucklehead unless you really love the Lord. But I'm thankful again that it is through the foolishness of preaching that I've fallen in love with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, in the first chapter of Philippians, in the 29th verse, it says, "For unto you," and now he's speaking to you, "for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." Now, as we begin this today, the Lord so impressed upon my heart that we understand the Spirit has to take this and make it ours. It's got to be the Spirit of the Lord that brings anything of His that will become mine. And in this, brothers and sisters, the Lord has always encouraged my heart so sweetly to rightfully divide the word of truth. And as we begin today, three of the paramount ways that the Lord has always encouraged my heart in studying the Word of God. And I'm talking about a heart study. Head study never gets you anywhere. But truly to know about this and rejoice, they're not just words on a page. This is the living Word of God. And it's so wonderful that we need to know who's speaking and who's being spoken to. And obviously, what's being spoken about. So as we break into this, the Lord encouraged my heart, you think about who's speaking here. Well, we know it's God. We know this is the Word of God. But the vessel that He's chosen here to bring this through is none other than Brother Paul. And Brother Paul, we have to remember, by God's grace, he said, "He's a chosen vessel unto me." And praise the Lord, how magnificent that he took the chief of sinners to bring forth the one who would make known the mystery of the gospel of Christ. Now you think those disciples had been running around a little while here, and we'd had all those wondrous prophets that spoke so many wonderful things, and they looked even to want to look into the things that God was writing through them. But as the Lord told Daniel and some of those others, "Honeys, I love you, and I've given you all the fullness of God for what I want you to take. But this is a better thing for this time and this people if they'll come into it. Praise the Lord. We are so favored. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. But in this, we have to recognize that this is the one who was made known the mystery of the gospel of Christ. God calls him the domestic or the housekeeper, if you will. The one who would come forth to make known that it is now time that the Gentiles should be. Not will be. Oh no. Should be by yielding, by grace. Joint heirs, fellow heirs, husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's think about who's he speaking to here. Well, we got these Philippian saints. These are the Philadelphia saints, the church of abounding brotherly love. You go on to read about this wonderful church in Revelation. It's the only one of the seven churches at the time of the coming of the Lord that we see spared from the tribulation and translated alive into the presence of the bridegroom. Amen? Amen. So I'm telling you, you start thinking about what he's talking about here, and this has got to be some special stuff. This isn't just any ordinary letter. Not that any of the Word of God is ordinary, brothers and sisters, but this is a better thing for us. Praise be to God. And in this, the Lord has encouraged upon my heart to bring out that first little word, and what a word it is, given. Look at that. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I remember as the Lord began to woo my heart, I often thought of this as it's required. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at this in your heart as a requirement, you'll never receive what the Lord is giving you here, right here. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what it says. It's a gift. It's a privilege. It's his very heart. This is the deep things of God right here. This is truly due benevolence. You'll look in there and I love this line upon line and precept upon precept I do. Not to get lost in Greek, and you can. You can get lost in the Greek. You can get lost in a, as I call them, cemeteries. They're also known as seminaries. When man tries to go about it with this, when man tries to promote man, when man tries to tell you, oh, look at me and how much I know, it's a total flop. You've lost the sight of everything. We want to be transparent here by God's grace. I want you to see Jesus. When anyone comes up into this pulpit, any of the teachers, any of the singing, any of the worship, any of the praise, anything, may it be done only to the glory and magnificent name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's when we're satisfied. That's when we know He has been praised. He has been magnified in Him alone. The enemy has no place here, and self is the enemy's work. And by God's grace, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. But brothers and sisters, this word gift here, given, it means due benevolence. I mention it often in weddings. I don't think there's a wedding that I don't mention it in. And what that means is it means acts of loving kindness. It's truly talking about the most intimate relationship that we know naturally, and that's between a husband and a wife. And what the Lord is saying here, this is the gifts between you and me. We're a married couple. If you'll abide as my readied wife. This is some major stuff here. God help us to get into it. But brothers and sisters, this is the lover saying very clearly, I not only give you faith. It's not only to believe on me. And see, I think about even given faith. You know, every Christian would line up and say, oh, I want faith. Right? Who here wouldn't want faith? Who here doesn't want faith? You'd be nuts not to, but do you really want it? Do you really want faith? Do you know how faith comes? Do you know how you get faith? Faith comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have to hear the Word. Not the speaker. Not the moniker. You have to hear the word of God for you. And the beautiful thing is my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. But by God's grace, it's a yielding thing. What are you going to do with it? Now let's go on. Do you really want faith? How is it being applied to your life? Is it by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Or is it by, well, I'm going to have faith today if things go my way. Huh? I'm going to have faith today if I'm feeling okay today. But if I'm not feeling good, you better watch out. Because I'm just going to be downright ornery. Because I'm not going by faith anymore. I'm just going by feeling. God help you if you go by feeling. Because a lot of times when you go with the Lord, I'm going to tell you, your natural body just won't feel good. He's going to show you His strength. And His strength is only magnified in your weakness. Do you really want this? Brothers and sisters, there's no mystery here. God is straightforward with this. I'm going to show you my strength. I'm going to show you the very power of my Son. And it will rest upon you, but it'll only rest upon you one way. In your weakness, in your infirmity, in the things that you want to just say are your down setting. Amen? Amen. Oh, we got opportunity around every corner, don't we? Think about it. You can't lose in the Lord. You can't. Because He won. It's finished. It's done. By faith. By faith. And I'm here to preach by faith. But you think now, you really want this faith, huh? Oh yeah, I want to hear the word of God. I like to feed on it. Amen. Sweet to the mouth, isn't it? But it's bitter to the stomach. We have a little sister that just got married. They went down to Mexico for their honeymoon. And you pray for little Jessica because she's trying to get back a day early because she's so sick. I'm sure whatever she was eating and tasting was sweet to the mouth. But I'm talking about the real thing. Do you want it? This leads us into what He's offering us here, that it is not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, brothers and sisters, this suffering by His grace is for His name's sake. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want to be His name's sake? Oh, I don't want to get off on too many tangents here, but hallelujah for the love of God. But what He's offering us here is He's saying, together with me, that you may jointly reign with me, that you be jointly glorified together with me. Now you just read this one time through, and it blows away all of the prosperity, the prosper and be in health doctrine, what is what I'm talking about. And I grieve to think that many of God's people are being robbed by this. It pretty much has become the mainstream Christian message anymore. And you know why prosperity and be in health, that message is so popular? Because it's appealing to the flesh. It satisfies bellies that want to be satisfied with anything but truly the Word of God. It sounds so good because it's appealing to my flesh that I can do something to gain favor with God. Think about what I just said. I'm going to do something to gain favor with God. That doesn't exist. That's a lie. Do you understand that? It's grace. I only gain favor with God at an increasing rate, if you want to say that, but I already am highly favored by receiving of Him, by Him taking the things of Christ and giving them unto me. I don't have anything to bring Him but what He has supplied in me. and praise the Lord. What praise and glory and honor and thanks that He has placed in us, brothers and sisters. We're like kettles on the kitchen stove, whistling and whistling, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the only thankfulness you'll ever have is because of you've received the grace of God. Hallelujah. But this is knowing this. This is the line upon line and precept upon precept. Brothers and sisters, God is calling out, hear my word. He said it like this, hear him. It's been the battle ever since day one, hasn't it? Whether it was the serpent or what, it's still the serpent. It's the same enemy. And it is. Hear him. Quit looking to other things when you've got everything. Those things will only steal and kill and take from you, destroy you. They will make you sick. Yes, I do preach there is but one way, and I'm thankful in that. That's the God I want, is the God that's got everything, and He sure does. And He put it in one precious place, in the Lamb. Praise His name. Now, when we hear Him, it's a straightforward message. It's a simple message, isn't it? It's a message that cries out, grace. I give you the best gifts. Just take them. I've already blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Just believe me. My goodness, I love the simplicity in that. I'm so thankful. It's not strange anymore. And you know why it's not strange? Because by His grace, I look to the Word of truth. I look to the life, praise God, and the life is in the Word, the life is in the blood, and He brings that to us. And brothers and sisters, as we go in here, we understand this isn't just any suffering. This isn't. Oh, how we like to walk around and say, oh, all things work together for good. Oh, brother, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Let me explain something to you. Until His grace is allowed to saturate you. And that's really what it is. Until His grace brings you into living a life called according to His purpose. Are you listening? Read the whole verse. All things will not work together for your good. How can all things work together for your good when you're feeding on things that you know are not the truth? Come on now. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the spiritual things, brothers and sisters. God will deal with you. I know He will. He chastens His children. He'll deal with you, His sons. I want to be the spiritual one. I want to restore. I want to preach the word of His truth. I want to preach His love. I'm looking at free sons. That's the only sons He's got. I'm looking at more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. That's the only sons He's got. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you one thing. I want that increasing at an increasing rate working in you. And I want it in me. And I know by His grace, it's when I live a life called according to His purpose. So let's get this straight right now. This isn't just walking around and saying, oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I remember very clearly, and I've preached of this. I had a sweet experience. It scared me. It shook me to my boots. I went over to Brother Hill's house one night, and I thought he was alone. But there was a woman that was crying at his chair. I didn't want to come in, but he saw my face, and he kept waving at me, get in here like this. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this isn't the place I want to be. You know, like that commercial say, you want to get away. I wanted to get away. But sometimes when He'd fasten those eyes on you, you know what? You came. Praise God. And it taught me something. Boy, I didn't like that lesson I learned that night. And it still shakes me to my boots. But there was that woman. She was crying. Oh, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And he looked down and he said, "You don't know nothing about the grace of God. You're a disgrace as a Christian." Now, I've said that to people, and I've heard people say, "Well, Brother Hill should have never said that." Let me tell you something. It's about time somebody does say that in our lives. It's about time somebody in love comes and says, "Wake up! Wake up! You're going through life maybe, and you're talking about this wedding, and you're talking a good talk about marrying Jesus Christ, but there's no oil in your lamp." And see what happens there, brothers and sisters. And yes, I do know that there are many layers that that's speaking of in that text. And I am so thankful of its type for Israel. I am grateful to God that I see that. But I'm so thankful for the type for me. See, don't limit God in your, "Well, it's got to just be this way." I know that the truth is the truth by the grace of God. But I've got to tell you something here. As I've sat down and I've let grace just immerse my life, I'm so thankful what He's opening to me. I'm so thankful that I'm soaring like I never could before. I'm hearing testimony of people, not because of me, but because of the exceeding riches of His glory that He's bringing to you right now, if you'll just take it, that it's so wonderful. Wonderful. It will build you up. It will be the word of His grace. It's never changed. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters. But He'll make you this wineskin that will grow and grow. And it's wonderful. And the dross will come out. And the praise and the glory and the manifestation of the glory and the grace of God will come in your life like never before. It's wonderful. I can't express it. It's amazing, the love of God, when it just envelops you and it just let it embrace you like never before. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm grateful for His love. Oh, it's beyond. Oh my. Now, you're willing to suffer for His sake. Huh? And that might be some of it that just exploded right there. I don't know. It's great. But I'm talking about suffering for His sake, not the consequences for my sinful ways. Let's just be real with it. Come on. My sinful ways are when I get in moods. Come on. My sinful ways are when I just want to be ugly with you. How could I? I love you. I do. I love you because of the love of God in me. And the love of God in you, as that sweet brother said, "Oh, it's Christ in me that loves Christ in you." I don't want to be a pawn of the enemy. I don't. And you're serving somebody today. You just are. You're a servant of something. Now, don't get that wrong. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God. You will never be separated from His love. But even in the natural, I sure have seen some kids that have come from some wonderful parents that knew better, that sure lived ornery lives. Like, you're telling me that apple fell from that tree? Come on. How much more our Heavenly Father? Oh, brothers and sisters, suffering for His sake is the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Yeah, it is. Don't listen to that doctrine that it'll kill you to think that a before ordained good work is something that's just going to be so happy to receive. So joyous for every moment. Because it's not. Brother Paul said it. It is not joyous for the moment. But I know. But I know. I gotta hurry. My heart's exploding at the same time it's breaking. I'm talking about the stuff that He's sending you into right now. You think of those disciples, there they were in that boat going into that fierce storm. First time He was there with them. Second time, he wasn't there with him, was he? But he was with him all the time. Nothing caught him unawares. He knew exactly what was going to happen. With Brother Job, I've been rejoicing because of James. And I'm thinking how, you know, the Lord allowed for his children to die. All of his goods to be taken. Boils to break out all over his body. Three so-called friends just to be as ornery and condemning. Oh God, help us never to be condemning. And then a wife that just became fierce. And yet God allowed it, and he did it all in love. Now I'm going to tell you something that'll be one of the sweetest things to your life. That the Lord so showed me. Son, I didn't call you to ask me why. Don't ask him why. He just called you to believe. Do you believe him? Is he the Father? Is he your Father? Is that lamb your lamb? Was that blood shed for you? Lord, I believe. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:7. It tells us that an exceeding eternal weight of glory is coming. Did you hear that? An exceeding eternal weight of glory is coming. And see, brothers and sisters, that's only seen when we realize it's but a light affliction and it's but for a moment. What he's getting at there is, God help us to magnify the glory and not dwell on the trial. When we dwell on the sufferings, brothers and sisters, you'll never see the beauty of the glory. I learned that. I told you when I was out there in Hawaii and I was trying to surf. And that surf hit me time and time again. That wave was always taking me down. It was a beautiful wave to watch. But then you got out in it. And it kept hitting me and knocking me through. But finally, I learned to get up. To arise. To stand. See, how you can speak to you even doing crazy stuff. And I rode that same thing that was just beating me up and throwing me and it marked my back, coral cut me. But then I came out and I didn't even know I was bleeding so much and had all that going on with this big old silly grin on my face. I did it. Not only did I just grin and bear it, I was smiling. It was wonderful. I could do it. It wasn't taking me down no more. It was glorious. And I came out and I had blood all over me. And my wife and sons were looking at me, Dad, you okay? I didn't feel a thing. It was glorious. And it'll be glorious. Because it is glorious. Because he's told you that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? See, brothers and sisters, what he wants to do is he wants to take these things and bring them forth in us. He wants us to be crying out that we have won him. As he cried out that day, Tielio, I have finished it. I have won you on that cross. Now, I've had people say to me, Brother, how do you really know? The Word tells me so. and I believe. And praise be to God in this text. It's all in one sweet little word, and that word is suffer. Don't turn away from it. It's glorious. Sure, suffering means hardships and heartaches. And sure, there's going to be injuries with suffering. But see, almost never any see this that I'm going to talk about. Because once they start seeing the suffering or hearing about it, they turn away. I love him, but we're going to be at arm's length. He's still holding them, don't get me wrong. But you've seen them kids pushing away from daddy like this. I had them do that to me. But brothers and sisters, this word suffering, and you can look it up, it means passion. And it does. Passion. And if you really think about it, it makes all the sense of the love of God. Because why would we willingly, why would we joyfully suffer for his sake if there wasn't a passion? You shouldn't. Because if you're doing it out of duty, it's not suffering anyways and you're wasting your time. You know that? You can go live in a cave. I heard about that nut that went up on that tower for months and months and he smelled like, oh my gosh, what he must have smelled like. They had to feed him with a stick because nobody would get close to him. See, he was making others suffer. So I ask you, are you making others suffer with your thinking that you're suffering? Come on now. But brothers and sisters, why would we willingly and joyfully suffer if it wasn't for the passion? And truly, we're talking about the same passion, the only passion that the grace of God can give us. I'm talking about the passion that he suffered upon the cross. The passion. See, a lot of people think, oh my goodness, them nails. Has he brought to your heart those, honey, were the nails of love that they drove into my hands and into my feet? When they thrust that into my side, they pierced you with me. He's a God of ecstasy. He is. He's a God of passion so beyond what we could ever ask or think. He's a God that is looking for the lover of his soul. And in this text, brothers and sisters, we see that believing and enduring and loving him through it is our claim to him. And I pray that God encourages us this day to embrace this privilege, to embrace this glory, to embrace this suffering together with Jesus Christ, that we may be glorified together with him. Glorified together, like him. Amen. Passion with him. How about radiating flames of love in the midst of a throne? I praise him. I thank him. He even speaks in his words, brothers and sisters. He talks about a type in the temple that the glory of God, it was so thick, it was smoking so much in the temple that the priests even had to flee. And all that remained was the cherubim, his glory, his glory, and her God. What do you think? Got a little different heart about the suffering that you're in today? For his sake, there's nothing greater. You will never enter in to the joint heirship with Jesus Christ if you don't apprehend it. And only his grace and in the knowledge of his love letters to you will you do it. There has to be the passion. By God's grace, if you don't have the passion today, the beautiful thing is he wants you to have it more than you'd ever want it. It's true. I pray for us, brothers and sisters, God bring a passion into our life. For Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, to have me abiding as a readied wife, the soldier with you, the good soldier that endures the hardness. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for people that love you. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Thank you for the word of your grace. Thank you that we speak the truth in love that grows us up into all things, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful, dear Lord, that you love us like you do. We're thankful that you continue to woo us. Lord, I'd ask that you just encourage hearts again this day to make the move. This is the day we have. This is the moment that you're dealing. God, let us pay attention to it. There is nothing more important. There's nothing more pressing outside these doors this day than truly to have our hearts break before you and say, Jesus, I so love you. Thank you that your heart every moment continues to call out to us, honey, I so love you. Won't you take of me? Won't you take my hand? Lord, thank you for this time and thank you for your glorious message. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.